Today we are rebooking WrestleMania 27 from April of 2011. Not the best WrestleMania. You know, we look back on it in a few positive lights. You can definitely absolutely pick out some positive stuff from that show. But the overall perception of WrestleMania 27, definitely not a super memorable WrestleMania. Georgia Dome, Atlanta, great setting, but delivery on the matches inside of the ring, not necessarily what I think was best for the time. So what we did here today is I rebuilt the WrestleMania 27 card to my liking and also try to get a little bit more creative and not just do what you might expect, which would be the typical, hey, instead of John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania 28, we're just going to do it at WrestleMania 27. I tried to get a little bit more creative than that. I think we do have a solid card here based off 2011 roster, the 2011 storylines, the champions. We didn't go too just over the top. Still a very realistic rebooking here, but I think what we have, in my opinion, is better than what we had in real life. What was it? 12, 13? My math sucks. Regardless, rebooking WrestleMania 27, and no, we will not be doing any more math problems. Let's get into this video. All right, we're going to break down this whole card. I believe we have 9 matches here, and I believe I only kept 2 things the same, or 3 things the same from the WrestleMania 27 card. And as we go through, you'll see why I picked these 3 matches. But before we get into this card, guys, I want to remind you that every single Noah Nation Wrestling video is available on audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and more, linked down below. And also, if you want to pick up some Noah Nation merchandise, you can also do so. We have merchandise for all of my channels as well, linked down below. But let's get into it. WrestleMania 27, we're going to have the match card right next to me here on the screen, and I'm going to talk that way. If you don't want to look at me, you can also look at the card. A little bit of half and half. Anyway, let's kick off WrestleMania 27. I'm feeling good tonight, guys. Had a cup of coffee before this. This is going to go off the rails. I already know. But we will open WrestleMania 27, and I apologize if I'm looking down at my computer, but I got to read my notes, with the World Heavyweight Championship match. Now, I know a lot of people weren't a fan of the World Heavyweight title match opening WrestleMania 27, but I just decided we keep it in the opening spot only because we found out later on that it was Edge's kind of decision, and he pushed for that thing to open up, for that match to open up WrestleMania because of his neck injuries, and he didn't want to go out in a high-level main event and try to, you know, possibly stink up the joint, even though Edge and Del Rio still had a really good match from what I remember. But, you know, I just decided for that reason, I'm just going to keep it in the opening match. And honestly, we got some big matches on this show, so it kind of helps spread everything out. Not my ideal choice, but I just decided, what the heck, we're going to keep opening this show with the World Heavyweight title. However, Alberto Del Rio, sorry, will not be facing Edge in what was his last match at the time. Obviously, what we have here should have happened anyway, and then in retrospective would have been an even better last match for Edge, and then all these years later we would have came back anyway. But we open WrestleMania 27 with the World Heavyweight Championship match, Edge versus Christian, the match everybody wanted at the time, the match everybody wanted over Alberto Del Rio. A lot of people at the time were pushing for Christian to get added and make it a triple threat match. I remember I was a part of the YWC, even as a, what grade was I in 2011? Seventh grade? I don't remember, but point is, I was in the YWC. I've been making YouTube videos since 2010. I remember the topics at the time, and people wanted Christian versus Edge. Edge did I, and it did not happen. Christian came back from an injury, and realistically, he probably would have been ready for the Rumble, because I can tell you right now, Christian would be winning the Royal Rumble match to set up this match based off what I have for the WWE title match. I would not have that challenger for the WWE title win. You'll see why later. So I would have Christian return and win the Royal Rumble match. And he was probably ready to go 3 weeks prior to the Elimination Chamber that year when he came back anyway. But even if he wasn't, just have him win the Rumble and then he can sit for a few weeks. Regardless, it's fantasy anyway. But everybody wanted Edge versus Christian, and that's the match we should have got. And Edge can still retain here, or Christian can win the world championship. And let's be real, Edge, I'm sure, would have had no problem dropping the world title to Christian at WrestleMania. And that's probably what I would have would have had done, especially if we turned Christian heel going up to WrestleMania. I think that would have been great. But this is just the match that should have happened in 2011. So in this rebooking, I had to make it right. Edge versus Christian for the World Heavyweight Championship. You guys already know the story. It's what should have happened, and it's what I would have happened in this rebooking. Match number two on WrestleMania 27. Not really changing much up here. This is one of the matches that I said we are repeating from the real life card. Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio. And I would change nothing about the story. It was actually a very good match on WrestleMania 27. It was a very good story for the most part leading up to the show. And it was a great match for Cody. Went over on Rey Mysterio. And obviously might not have led to too much, but 2011 was a pretty solid year for Cody Rhodes. So nothing I would change here. Cody versus Rey, not going to dive too much into it because I would just keep everything the exact same. The story involving Cody's face breaking because of Rey Mysterio's knee brace, wearing the mask, going from dashing to undashing, getting Dusty Rhodes involved, all that stuff. Leave it the same. Cody versus Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania 27. Match number three. And here's where we're going to get a little bit more juicy here. Definitely putting our creative caps on. WWE Tag Team Championship match. Defending champions Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, ready for this, versus Big Show and Kevin Nash. I know it did the diesel, but Kevin Nash. Now, hear me out. Kevin Nash made his return to the WWE in the 2011 Royal Rumble. And I remember everything I'm about to say here very vividly because I just watched the 2011 Rumble 2 days before this year's Rumble when I was sick in bed. So I remember, but Kevin Nash made his return, and Drew McIntyre and Sheamus were actually teaming up on a couple of people throughout that matchup, and they acknowledged it on commentary, how they were friends, the Celtic connection they kept calling it. I would honestly would have had that played in to real life here. And one more thing about the Rumble is McIntyre and Sheamus, although they did double team Kevin Nash at one point, they didn't eliminate Kevin Nash. I believe Nash got eliminated by Wade Barrett. But on Kevin Nash's way out, he had crossed paths with the Big Show in the aisleway as the Big Show was making his way towards the ring. Obviously, history with each other in WCW. So what I would have here, I went to see who the tag team champions were before WrestleMania 27, and I think even into 27, and they were Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. So Sheamus was on Raw, so were those guys. So Sheamus picks a fight with those two, and we're definitely blending some of the brands here, but the brand split was dying in 2011. It died in August, but we're just saying screw it early with some of these matches because it didn't matter. The brands were so thin. You know, go back and look at the rosters for Raw and SmackDown in 2011. You're like, how did they get through a live event? Like, they must have been running the same matches every single night with no rest. Like, no wonder Edge was freaking on the shelf and Rey Mysterio was hurt. No wonder these guys were getting hurt probably more often than they are now because there was nobody on the roster. Anyway, Sheamus brings Drew McIntyre over to Raw after, you know, you can build it up for a few weeks. They win the tag team championships over Santino and Kozlov, and now Sheamus and McIntyre, as the tag team champions, can fairly, whatever the word you want to be, whatever the word you want to say. I can't talk tonight. I shouldn't have had that coffee before I made this video. They can be on SmackDown. They could start a feud with the Big Show, lay him out 1 week, lay him out a second week, and then they do it again the third week. But who makes the save? Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash back in the WWE family. And I don't want to hear, oh, unrealistic. And because one, we're fantasy booking here. Two, Nash was not only in the 2011 Royal Rumble, but Nash came back and did, what, 2-3 matches by the end of 2011? He did the match with Triple H at TLC. I think he did a squash on Raw, which doesn't really count. And then I feel like he did something else. Didn't he wrestle at Vengeance that year? Or am I thinking? I don't know. But point is, he wrestled a couple of matches at the end of 2011. Was on Raw pretty frequently. So it's not unrealistic. Kevin Nash and Big Show versus McIntyre and Sheamus for the tag team titles. And you can have whatever happen here. McIntyre and Sheamus can retain. Big Show and Nash can win the tag team titles. Really doesn't matter. I'm not rebooking the whole year of 2011. But I did pick some winners for some of these matches. But as for the tag team titles, put them on the show. And these are the two teams I would have contest for those penny freaking championships. Guys, why didn't you tell me I forgot to put the blue light glasses on? I'm wondering why I'm squinting so much and I'm getting a headache. That's why I wear these glasses, because I got all these damn screens and lights in my face. Why didn't you tell me? You're supposed to have my back. All right, for this fourth match on the show, I need to read my notes a little bit as I talk here. But the matchup will be Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton. I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of Alberto Del Rio. I understand, but we're booking as if this is 2011. If we were booking a show in 2005, yes, I would probably put Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit on the show because we would be booking like it's 2005. Same thing here. so put personal feelings aside, because it's just, we're living in a fantasy world anyway. Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton. How would I get there? Let me tell you. Randy Orton eliminates Alberto Del Rio from the 2011 40-man Royal Rumble. Del Rio runs back in the ring, eliminates Randy Orton, one of those situations that we've gotten multiple times over the years and actually happened somewhat in the 2011 Rumble with The Miz sliding in, eliminating John Cena. So kind of happened that year as well. Obviously, I'll just take that spot out because it wouldn't play into our Mania plans. However, Del Rio, of course, going to take issue with Randy Orton. Randy Orton took away his destiny from winning the Royal Rumble and headlining WrestleMania. So Randy Orton, part of Raw, Del Rio still a part of SmackDown. Randy Orton takes part in the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber matchup, which would include Randy Orton, The Champion, The Miz, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, CM Punk, and John Morrison. So Randy Orton takes part in the chamber. Randy Orton would eliminate John Morrison from the matchup first, but as Morrison's leaving, chamber door is open. Alberto Del Rio sneaks inside the Elimination Chamber, lays out Randy Orton. CM Punk capitalizes and pins Randy Orton to eliminate Randy Orton from the Elimination Chamber, which will then, of course, refer to, I'm reading my notes backwards here, but we will refer to the rest of the Elimination Chamber later. But anyway, this would, of course, lead, get my notes in order, to Randy Orton challenging Alberto Del Rio to a match at WrestleMania to seek revenge. Simple setup between these guys, and a simple way to do it through the Royal Rumble, since they were technically a part of two separate brands, even though the brand split was dying anyway. And, it's a big match. You know, Del Rio, they were trying to build him up at the time, contested for the world title, obviously lost, so you can still have him in a big spot here versus Randy Orton. This match taking the place of Orton and CM Punk. We've got CM Punk and something later on, and it doesn't really matter who wins here. Orton could probably win. That would probably be the ideal situation, since Del Rio lost anyway. Orton won in real life. You could do that, but that's the matchup I would have for both of these guys, Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. Next up, for the Intercontinental Championship, I would have Kane defending the championship after he, you know, defeats Kofi Kingston, who was the champion at the time, sometime on SmackDown in January, February for the title. Goes on just a squash streak, man. And then Kane was, you know, pretty hot at the time. Major player on SmackDown, was world champ for, you know, a chunk of 2010, was the, you know, a main eventer, like I said. So wins the Intercontinental title, and it's just rolling through a lot of younger or mid-card to jobber talent, honestly, until eventually he shows up on Raw because he feels like he has beaten almost everybody on SmackDown, and he picks a fight with Vladimir Kozlov and just absolutely destroys Vladimir Kozlov. And this all leads to a man who was also very hot at the time. Remember, we're booking as if it's 2011, Santino Marella challenging Kane to a match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship to seek revenge on behalf of Vladimir Kozlov. Santino was one of the final two men in the 2011 Rumble. He was on WrestleMania 27 in real life. He was one half the tag team champions at this time. Realistic booking? Yes. Kane versus Santino. Is it the greatest match in the world? No, but we're filling up this card. We're getting two notable names at the time on this card, and it's a solid mid-card match that doesn't have to last long. And who knows, maybe Santino gets the huge upset and defeats Kane for the Intercontinental title here, or it's a squash and Kane beats Santino in 8 seconds like he did to Chavo at WrestleMania 24. Pick your poison, but again, we're just filling up the card a little bit here with some mid-card matches before we get into a couple of heavy main events. Kane versus Santino for the Intercontinental Championship. Harmless match. I think it'd be good. Next up, you would have The Undertaker versus Triple H. I believe this was a no-holds-barred match, in real life. Nothing to change here. I know people wanted Undertaker and Sting that year. I wasn't going to book it because obviously Sting went back to TNA or re-signed with TNA. That did not happen. That would be over-the-top fantasy that I'm not interested in booking. I like realistic fantasy booking here on the channel. Nothing to change there. Same story, same match, all that good stuff. Triple H versus The Undertaker. The best match on WrestleMania 27, one of, if not the best match of 2011, you know, right next to or above CM Punk and John Cena for Money in the Bank that year. So not touching that. Triple H versus Taker, got to keep that on WrestleMania 27. And the big match is going to keep rolling on. We have a major main event here, and this is where I posted on the community tab earlier this week, and I talked about a little bit in the beginning of this video. I was really trying to get creative and not do what you might expect for WrestleMania 27, and this, what I came up with here, I thought was very creative, very realistic, and goes with a lot of what was going on in 2010 and 2011. So up next, if I could talk, there we go. Up next, and not the main event of the show, we still got two more matches after this because the show is stacked. We have a winner takes all match. 4, the WWE Championship held by The Miz defending against the defending United States Champion, Daniel Bryan. With, actually, you know what? Hold that thought. I want to run through this and then we'll go with the whiz. But anyway, winner takes all match. Miz, Daniel Bryan, both defending their championships. Why do I think this is a good idea? Why do I think this is realistic? Well, if you know the history, you know why. Daniel Bryan defeated The Miz for the United States Championship back at Night of Champions 2011. 2 months later, The Miz won the title. Daniel Bryan held the U.S. title all the way up until February or March 2011, where he lost to Sheamus. Didn't even end up on the Mania card. You guys all know the story about Miz, or excuse me, about Bryan and Sheamus. And again, wanted to get creative here. So let me run you through this story of how I'd kind of have this match come together. And I apologize for reading my notes, but I want to make sure I don't miss any details here on how I would put this match together. So, The Miz retains the WWE Championship over John Cena at the Royal Rumble. So, the original WrestleMania 27 main event in real life, I would actually have that take place at the Royal Rumble that year, which was at the TD Garden in Boston, John Cena's hometown. So, it would have been a great night for some heat on The Miz. And The Miz retains the WWE Championship with help by The Nexus, who we will talk about later. The Miz goes on to defend the championship inside the Elimination Chamber, which we discussed a little bit earlier. And it comes down, the final two men, as I mentioned earlier, Miz, Bryan, Cena, Orton, Punk, and Morrison inside the Elimination Chamber. But things come down to The Miz and the United States Champion, Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan gonna put up a great fight here. Obviously, you know, he's on the way to do a big match, main event match at WrestleMania. We're gonna make him look like $1 million. However, in the end, The Miz wins and retains the WWE Championship. Now, The Miz has retained the title back-to-back pay-per-views. We do not have a number one contender set up yet for WrestleMania. The following night on Raw, the United States Champion Daniel Bryan confronts The Miz, and he says, you know I can beat The Miz because he's done it before, and that's how he won the United States Championship to begin with. Daniel Bryan wants to do it again, but this time for the WWE Championship. The Miz says he beat Bryan in the Elimination Chamber, so therefore Bryan has nothing left to offer him, and he will not defend the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Bryan suggests, well, I have nothing left to offer you. What about the United States Championship, the title that I took from you back in September at Night of Champions in 2010, as I said earlier? Daniel Bryan challenges The Miz to a winner-takes-all match for both championships. First time since WrestleMania 6 where we would have a situation like this at WrestleMania, which The Miz, of course, looks intrigued by the idea, but only if Daniel Bryan can beat his protege, Alex Riley, later that night on Raw, which, of course, Daniel Bryan does. The Miz beats down Daniel Bryan after the match and proclaims he will make WrestleMania history by not only once again becoming the United States Champion, by not only doing that, but also retaining the WWE Championship and once and for all proving that The Miz is better than Daniel Bryan. Now, before we continue, you guys remember 2010, 2011, we had a heated rivalry on commentary between Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole, which I can't believe it still happened all these years later, led to a Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole match at WrestleMania that year with Stone Cold as the special guest referee. Jack Swagger was in the corner of Michael Cole just a year after he was the world champion. What a debacle that was. But instead of having that match on WrestleMania, because I think we could do without that, however, we can play up the story here. We're going to get that commentary war involved in this story. Michael Cole proclaims he will be in the corner of The Miz at WrestleMania, and will take great satisfaction in watching that geek, that nerd, as he would call him, Daniel Bryan, fall flat on his face on the biggest stage of them all. Jerry Lawler being like, you know what? I hate you, Michael Cole, and I hate The Miz. I'm going to back Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, not just by sitting here at ringside and supporting him. I'm going to be standing at ringside in his corner, training him, helping him to beat The Miz at WrestleMania. So Bryan with Lawler, Miz with Michael Cole are all involved in a contract signing on Monday Night Raw. Obviously, we're talking, you know, late February, early March here in the lead up to WrestleMania, only to be interrupted by who? The anonymous Raw general manager. Who remembers that damn computer from back in the day? But we needed an authority figure here, and that was the authority figure on Raw. And the anonymous Raw general manager states that a match of this importance, title for title, winner takes all, need somebody to call this thing right down the middle, and they introduce the special guest referee, as we mentioned in the real-life match, Stone Cold Steve Austin, for WrestleMania. So that is the groundwork for one of the biggest matches on WrestleMania 27. Daniel Bryan with Jerry Lawler in his corner defending the United States Championship versus The Miz with Michael Cole in his corner defending the WWE Championship with Stone Cold Steve Austin as the special guest referee. Winner takes all, and of course, I would have Daniel Bryan win this thing and defeat The Miz for the WWE title. The Miz, let's be honest, probably would have lost the WWE title at WrestleMania 27 in real life anyway, had they not used that match to set up John Cena versus The Rock. Miz lost the title a month later. It probably would have happened at Mania 27 had they not shot the angle with The Rock and Cena. So Miz goes into Mania and drops the title to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan gets put over for a lifetime earlier than, you know, everything happened in real life with the US title, with the WWE title, Jerry Lawler holding up his hand, Stone Cold holding up the other. Big moment for Daniel Bryan. And yes, this is early in Daniel Bryan's WWE run. However, just a few months later, he was winning Money in the Bank. A year later, he was World Heavyweight Champion. What's the raw? Daniel Bryan was obviously ready from day one. So I don't think it's unrealistic. I think this is a huge match that plays into the storylines from the time and creates a big fight feel for WrestleMania and is a big final conclusion to The Miz versus Daniel Bryan. Bryan beat Miz back at Night of Champions. Miz pinned Bryan in the Elimination Chamber. Belt for belt at Mania. Settle the score. I think it's a great idea. I think it's different than what you might have expected for my WrestleMania 27 rebooking. But that was only one of the main events. We still got two more matches to go. And of course, one of those matches needs to be a cool down after you just had The Miz versus Daniel Bryan and Triple H versus The Undertaker. So you're goddamn right I kept this match. Why? Not because it was good, but because I wanted to get Dolph Ziggler on the card and I needed a cool down match between these couple main events. Dolph Ziggler, Layla, Michelle McCool versus John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki. Yeah, I kept it on the card. It can do the same thing that they did in real life. What the fuck was that that just flew across my camera? Anyway, that's your co-main event. Let's get into the real thing. The main event of WrestleMania 27. That was a fly. I see it up there, but I'm not getting up to kill it. Whatever. The main event of WrestleMania 27. No, it is not John Cena versus The Rock. You might have expected that by the thumbnail, by not listening to what I said at the beginning of this video, but that's not what we did. However, we do have a pretty mega main event, and as you can see, the world title's already been defended, the WWE title's already been defended, Undertaker and Triple H has already gone on. So what is the WrestleMania main event? John Cena teaming with The Rock versus your co-Nexus leaders, CM Punk and Wade Barrett. Rock and Cena teamed up in Survivor Series that year. This is a bigger matchup. The Rock gets to wrestle at WrestleMania 27 without having to get involved in a WWE title shenanigans that only was really just a setup for The Rock and Cena, and The Miz was just the bystander. You remember the build-up to The Miz and John Cena? It was basically a build-up to John Cena, The Rock, and then The Miz was like the third party. It was whack. Forget the whole situation. This is what I would do. Cena and Rock versus Punk and Barrett. Different, like I mentioned. So let's talk about this thing. So near the end of 2010, CM Punk joins Monday Night Raw just as he did in real life. I believe they said it was a trade with SmackDown for Edge. Edge went to SmackDown, Punk came to Raw. But instead of completely taking over the Nexus and Wade Barrett going to SmackDown and starting the core, which fizzled out by like May of that year, it did not last long. Here's what I would do. He joins the Nexus as a co-leader with Wade Barrett. So Punk, and we're talking probably late November, or just sometime in November, you know, build the Survivor Series after Survivor Series, just end of 2010. Punk says that the Nexus has failed. You know, all those the match at SummerSlam, Wade Barrett failing to win the WWE Championship. Punk says the Nexus has failed their takeover, not because of a lack of talent, but because of a lack of leadership and, most importantly, experience. At first, Wade Barrett's going to take offense to this, especially the leadership comment, because they're the new guys they want to take over. But Punk has a point. Wade Barrett and a lot of the Nexus realize that they don't have a lot of experience. This is still year one for them, and maybe things would have gone a little bit better had somebody else been atop Wade Barrett, or at least next to Wade Barrett as a leader or co-leader to help lead the ship. So this goes on for a couple weeks. Punk doesn't necessarily blame Wade Barrett for their downfalls, but says he needs guidance or needs help in guiding a new way for the Nexus. And again, Wade Barrett initially denies everything CM Punk wants, denies him access into the Nexus as a co-leader. But after a few weeks, CM Punk faces John Cena in the main event of Raw, which I believe was the matchup that actually happened in real life where they shot the whole situation with Punk becoming the leader of the Nexus. Might be wrong on that. But point is, I would have CM Punk versus John Cena in the main event of Raw because it's going to play into our mega storyline here, which is interrupted by the Nexus. And I'm talking Nexus at its full strength, not a broken apart one with the core and all this. I'm talking Wade Barrett, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, who the hell else? Husky Harris, David Otunga, Michael McGillicuddy. I think Skip Sheffield and Michael Tarver were gone at that point, but whoever was remaining, just the whole thing, everybody in Nexus, they interrupt this matchup. They surround Punk and Cena, again, coincidentally, which I believe was the matchup where the Nexus made their debut in 2010, same situation there. Nexus hit the ring, but this time they only target John Cena. Wade Barrett approaches CM Punk, hands him a Nexus armband, and CM Punk and Wade Barrett officially, after, you know, weeks of anticipation, weeks of Barrett kind of having to sit on this and ponder the situation, having discussions that you can show backstage with the Nexus members and him kind of thinking about if this is the right thing to do for the Nexus, gives him the Nexus armband, and CM Punk officially joins the Nexus as a co-leader. CM Punk introduces Mason Ryan to the group as he did in real life. Not that Mason Ryan lasted very long at all on the WWE. I don't know how long, you know, he was in the Nexus, then the Nexus died mid-year 2011. I think he might have been around in like 2012, but barely. But yeah, I'm sticking to real life. So they add Mason Ryan, new heavy for CM Punk in the Nexus, just again as they did in real life. And Punk and Barrett, just as they did, still taking some inspiration from real life, kind of force every member of the Nexus to complete a new initiation to this newly reunited, fresh coat of paint Nexus. Just as like I said, Punk did to his members of the Nexus, Husky Harris, David Otunga, whoever else, you know, after he took over and the rest of the guys went to SmackDown. Early January, we get a battle royal on Raw to determine the number one contender for The Miz at the Royal Rumble, which, as we mentioned earlier, comes down to John Cena winning that matchup. But the battle royal comes down to John Cena and Wade Barrett, which Cena, of course, as I mentioned, will win. This causes the events of the Royal Rumble that we talked about earlier, with the Nexus costing John Cena the victory over The Miz. They continue to feud for a couple weeks till we get to the Elimination Chamber. And inside the Elimination Chamber, CM Punk eliminates John Cena after we're taking, again, some inspiration from real life. You guys remember in 2010 when Cody Rhodes slid a steel pipe through the chamber, Ted DiBiase grabbed it and bashed Randy Orton over the head with it to eliminate him. Kind of a little bit similar situation here. Wade Barrett comes down. He's not in the matchup, but CM Punk is in there. Steel pipe, lead pipe, whatever, into the chamber. Punk uses it against John Cena, follows it up with the GTS. CM Punk eliminates John Cena from the matchup. But before exiting, before the chamber door even opens, Cena snaps, goes after CM Punk, throws him through a pod, AAs him, and allows Daniel Bryan to pin CM Punk and eliminate him from the Elimination Chamber. Just escalating this whole situation, man. This thing, you know, has taken on a whole new life. You know, Cena and Barrett and the Nexus had all this situation from June till the end of 2010. Now CM Punk's in there causing way more chaos, trying to lead a new life for the Nexus. And of course, you know, it's needless to say, but, you know, once CM Punk takes over, you of course book Raw every week to make Nexus look like $1 million, make it look like they're really following a new leadership, winning all their matches, beating everybody's ass, trying to make up for some of those losses that kind of plagued their 2010. Nonetheless, the next night on Raw after the Elimination Chamber, The Rock, as he did in real life, returns to host WrestleMania. But the following week, John Cena calls for The Rock to help him take down the Nexus once and for all. Cena says, "Rock, you may not like me, you may not respect me, and we may have issues, but before we settle that, I need your help to settle this situation before I can focus on anything else, whether that's you, the WWE Championship. I cannot take out CM Punk and Wade Barrett alone. They're just going to keep coming back. I need you, The Rock, to aid me in this tag team match at WrestleMania." And then we build it up to a big pop, you know, on Monday Night Raw one night. The Nexus, all of them, everybody, beating John Cena's ass, only for The Rock's music to hit. Hits the ring, officially, just everybody, that Cena and Rock just lays out everybody, clears the ring, Nexus goes running, Rock and Cena, or Rock officially accepts Cena's tag team partnership from WrestleMania, and we get the match. Mega tag team match in the main event of WrestleMania 27, Rock and Cena versus Punk and Wade Barrett, which obviously Rock and Cena would probably win. Rock can lay out Cena afterwards to set up WrestleMania 28. And then after WrestleMania 27, honestly, you know, not obviously we're changing history here, and I'm not rebooking 2011 by any means, but you could probably have CM Punk or the Nexus turn on CM Punk, turn Punk babyface, keep Barrett heel. Then you can start disbanding the Nexus or do whatever the hell you want after they lose in this main event of WrestleMania. But I think it would be a big deal. CM Punk gets a main event of WrestleMania, so maybe he doesn't leave all those years later. Regardless, I thought it was creative. I thought it was different than what you might expect with Cena versus The Rock or, you know, some other WWE title match. I don't know. I tried to get creative with everything on this card while also staying realistic, because that's what I like doing. Whether I'm doing fantasy bookings for the future or rebookings from the past, I like getting creative but also staying realistic to what would happen. I don't like getting super, you know, oh my goodness, what if Sting actually did come to WWE in 2011 and he faced The Undertaker? Let's book that. Like, I'm feeling that. Then we can book anything. You know what I mean? I want to stay realistic and try to make it good. That's the challenge for me, and that's a fun challenge that I like taking on, if you will, when I do these style videos. But that is it, man. That is how I would rebook WrestleMania 27 from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta 2011. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. Leave your rebooking match card, if you got one, down below in the comments, or just let me know your thoughts on mine. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this video, guys, every single No Nation Wrestling video available on audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. If you want some No Nation merchandise from all of my channels, you can go check out the merch store, also linked down below. And most importantly, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe, as well as if you're interested and you want to support me in a huge way, hit the join button down below. We just revamped our channel memberships. There's three tiers now, and the top tier, the main event tier, will give you access to an exclusive Discord that I haven't completed setting up yet, but it will be done when I get the time to do it within the next week or two. And anybody who's a main event channel membership member will get access to that, as well as a bunch of other perks. So you can just support me by hitting the join button down below, but ultimately like the video, subscribe, goes a long way in helping the No Nation grow here on YouTube. Thank you guys for checking out this video. More content to come, including my Elimination Chamber predictions later this week. So I'll see you guys then. See you guys in the next video. Peace.